Welcome, welcome to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in now on Highland Radio or back via the podcast. This is your weekly GA Roundup, another packed show in store this evening. As ever, Páraic Hilford is in studio. Páraic,
how you doing, Brendan? You all right?
Looking good, my man. Joe Dykes is in the house. Thank you, Don Marie, for the news. And of course, the legendary Ivan Borland for the Power Hour Plus. Shortly, we are going to speak with Donegal Ladies boss John McNulty after an agonising extra time defeat in the Ulster final to Armagh yesterday. Then we are going to speak with former Kerry star James O'Donoghue. He is actually coming to Letterkenny this Friday, so we're going to chat all things GA to him and about his trip up to Donegal. Frank McGlynn, the legendary Frank McGlynn, All-Ireland winner 2012, is coming on the show. Very interested to get his views on Donegal at the minute. And of course, there's a big up for the match he's attending as well in Ballybofey, Jackson's, on Friday evening from the McCool's Club. We'll enter our attention to hurling. Donegal hurlers have made another huge Nicky record final. Their boss, Mickey McCann, is coming on. But first, as I say, we're going to talk, well, Armagh at the weekend. Unfortunately, our minors come up short in the minor semi-final. I was down at that. There's an interview with our manager, Barry Ward, up on the site. But now we speak with Donegal Ladies boss, John McNulty. John, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Ben. Thank you.
John, thanks very much for joining us. John, listen, I've been there before. Unfortunately, Ulster final day. It's a big day and a tough defeat. John, sometimes the day after, you know, you've time to assess what was your feelings on the game and I suppose the huge effort that your team put in.
Yeah. Well, Ben, naturally afterwards, you're very disappointed at losing the final because you're always going there to win it. But especially yesterday with the way we played, you know, I thought we played very well. And what you said earlier, but the effort that was given by all the girls was fantastic. And, you know, they left it all out in the field. And it just, maybe on reflection, you know, there's a few chances that we felt maybe if we had to get them, including there was maybe two definite goal chances, if we could take either one of those, I think we probably would have won the game. But in saying that, on reflection as well, it wasn't to be, and you have to credit Armagh. They came with that last ditch point, and they had to put it over the bar, and they got their victory. It's hard fought. They're hard won, these Ulster finals, and it was no different yesterday. But I'd have to say, on reflection today, you know, I'm very proud of the effort that the team showed and all the girls that put in the 100% effort there, and you couldn't fault them in any way.
Yeah, John, just teeing up the game, obviously Armagh top of Division 1, you know, we early campaign, and I know you're unearthing new players. You know, Armagh going in as raging hot favourites. So, John, it was some effort. Like, talk about Donegal stepping it up. You're 6 months into the job. You know, there's brilliant signs of this team coming together for you, even in the first championship.
I would have to say that on yesterday's display, definitely. We've worked on things over the, you know, we had a 6 week break there from the end of the league campaign, and we probably worked a lot on stuff at training, and yesterday it really came off. The girls, you know, in fairness, they take everything on board, and they will, whatever you ask them to do, they will do it. They'll bring their best at trying to do that. And yesterday they did that, and it showed that we were able to compete. As you rightly say, Armagh were league champions. You know, when I was up at that league final against Kerry, and they were very good that day. So we knew it was a big challenge, especially the forward. You know, the lot of forward play, the Kelly Mackin or Amy Mackin and Kelly Mallon, and you know, Henderson, and a lot of good players. Laura McConville picked up man of the match, woman of the match that day as well. You know, so they had a lot of good players all around, carrying Hannon in the middle of the field. So we knew it was a big task. And for the girls to carry out the performance and to be so competitive with them, you know, they have definitely come a long way in the 6 months so far. But that being said, Ben, you know, and while you look at it, you know, we have to look at it and try and move on again now, because we're into the All-Ireland series after that, and we have to try and pick ourselves up again. But we have Waterford and Kerry in that, so there'll be no easy games in that group either.
Yeah, exactly. Look forward to Páraic Hilford. He was there yesterday for us. John, himself and Mo were covering the game, Páraic.
John, it was, as I said to you, after the final whistle, it was an epic game end to end. But suppose when you looked at the raft of players that you lost from last year going into the game this year, suppose you looked at the youth and, you know, just picking out Abigail Azuko, 18 years of age, stepping in there. Katie Dowds as well, 17 years of age. Looking across your team, John, it is a very young, youthful side. suppose, what was your message going into that game yesterday? Because I said to you after the game also, it was just about how confident they started.
Yeah, I think, Mark, we worked on a lot of things at training and that, and we had a couple of challenge games, and we probably worked on things to see where they came off then after that, and we spoke about it, and we what was good and what was bad, and we just kind of put things really together in the end, and we really went in because maybe sometimes we were so much of an underdog too. I think going in, I really probably took the pressure off them, and I felt once they would get their hands on the ball and we start going, it was a lovely day to play football as well, and they really grew into the game very quickly from there. For again, I think it was just that we had ourselves well set over the 6 weeks, looking forward to the final.
And was that something, suppose? When you look at the threat that Amy Mackin, and just reading the stats on her before the game, 725 in the league, you'd Kelly Mall on the other side, 217 in the league. Looking yesterday, the job that your defenders did on specifically Amy Mackin, she scored 4 points, two from frees actually, and then you look at Kelly Mall, 3 points, 1 point from free. So you completely nullified that threat. So that gave you the foundation in the first opening half into the second half.
Oh, yeah, I think you have great credit goes to Roisin Rodgers and Dave Boyle. They're absolutely outstanding in the job that they've done. And I mean, to stay at that for the full hour and go into extra time, the mental capacity of that is huge. And they carried that out, you know, with their bodies on the line many of the time during that game. And as I say, to restrict Amy Mackin to 2 points from play was a huge achievement. And I mean, great credit to Roisin and also to Niamh on Kelly Mallon, because they're two terrific forwards. And the job they've done on them really helped us when we turned the teams over then to be able to get up the field and to get our own scores.
And looking at some of the substitutions you made as well, Eva Gallagher came in, got a point, worked tirelessly, so did Niamh Carr, Jody McFadden, Lisa Cunningham as well. Suppose, John, strength and depth there from a Donegal point of view, it's really important now getting into the group stages.
Yeah, and it's always trying to, you know, get the experience into the squad as well. You know, I mean, you have to turn around and look at, I mean, Katie Heron's performance, you know, one of the older ladies in the team there. But I mean, yesterday she was, you know, she really probably rolled back the years in a lot of way with her performance. Or, you know, that goal she got in the last minute, I mean, was just outstanding. And then, you know, and to Susie White, she kicked 8 points for us as well. So, you know, with all that in play as well, and being able to get the girls coming off the bench and allow them that experience in a high-pressured game like that will only stand for them. And we've got to carry that into the group stages now, and that's really what our focus will have to be after we get back training on Wednesday.
Yeah. And I suppose, John, the dust settles, you know, and if you have a young team, you know, that's coming in as underdogs, they compete like that, that obviously will stand you big time in terms of the evolution of this team. You know, even though it was a heartbreaking extra time victory, you're playing one of the best teams in Ireland that looked like they should beat us. So they're still massive, I suppose, as I say, once you get back in there, that there'll be great confidence the team can take.
Without a doubt, because you'd have to say, like, Armagh are one of the favourites, along with probably Dublin and maybe Kerry, to win the All-Ireland the year. So, like, that was the level of competition we're up against. Well, you're right there, but, you know, that it definitely should stand as the girls and give them that belief now that we can go on and you know, compete at the highest level. But again, you need to take it step by step, and that next game, whether it's Kerry or Waterford, is where we'll have to look at and assess it from there then. But obviously, it'll give the girls great confidence going back to training now, even though we did get beat. You know, as you say, sometimes you have to learn from a defeat, and we have to try and learn that. But as confident way it goes, I think it'll definitely help all the girls.
Good man, John. Listen, as ever, and well done to you and the coaching team for bringing the girls back up to that standard. We wish you all the best in the championship, and we'll speak to you as it goes on.
Thank you very much, Ben. Thank you, Barry.
Thanks very much, John.
Good man, John. John McNulty there. Fair play to him. We're going to talk now with Kerry star James O'Donoghue. James, are you on the line there?
I am indeed.
How are things?
How are you doing there, James? That's a Dublin accent.
He's my Kerry accent, feels even stronger. Right.
This boy's terrible, the accent here. This boy was saying Clonus was in Fermanagh yesterday. He's like, I'm sorry, I couldn't let you go away.
I got enough slagging yesterday.
You obviously did that as a joke, right?
That was a bit of a joke, all right, yeah.
You know Clonus isn't in Fermanagh, particularly James at the other end of the country.
We only worry about ourselves down here.
There you go.
Thanks, James. Do you ever make a mistake, James? Have he never made a mistake in his life?
Huh? Hey, we have to laugh about these things. James, great to talk to you. James, you still playing for Legion?
I am indeed. Nope. I couldn't give it up. Jesus, I tried and I had too much time on my hands then, so I said I have to keep playing, and it's nice to give a couple of years back to the club and get back in with the lads. So we're in the intermediate championship, so we're going for glory this year. We wanna win the intermediate in Kerry, which is a big deal to us. Would you believe actually in the intermediate championship in Kerry, two of the last three Munster senior winners are in it. Kieran's O'Rahilly's and Austin Stacks. It's mad. So we've a right messed up system of club football.
Yeah, I've never understood. We look at this and we see different teams and then we see them grouped together. And I never understand. But then again, your junior and intermediate teams tend to be the best. That's about quite often. So whatever's happening down there, there is a strong formula and always creating that next wave, James.
Yeah, the club scene is so important. Even I think the county league scene is even good down here, because Jack O'Connor was doing a bit of a chat after the game the last day, and he was running the substitutes that didn't come on against Manning for Kerry, and some of them stepped out of the runs and they were going playing county league that evening. So I think there is a big emphasis put on the club scene down here, which I think it does make a difference. You know, it just keeps fellas tuned in and keeps them playing and keeps them involved.
Yeah, well, it was hard to avoid in Euros, of course, with your dad, Dermot, being an All-Ireland winner as well, James. So it's been a big life in football. And, of course, now you do off the ball and you're involved in so many aspects as well. Are you enjoying it?
I am. I love it. As I said, you know, I found it hard leaving the Kerry scene, you know, in terms of watching the games and not being involved. And it's hard. It can be a hard transition. So Tommy Rooney gave me a call there one day to get involved with himself and Paddy Andrews on the football pad, and I said I'd go in and jump at it. And you know what, I love it, and it keeps you involved some way. I know it's not the same as playing or managing, but you still feel like you're on top of things, and I love it. You know, we're doing a few things to keep us going and have a bit of crack with it. We don't take it too seriously all the time, so we try and keep it light.
I know that. I can actually tell that from me, James, and that's what people want to hear. Parik, how did you transition when you retired?
I never really played. No, but just to come back on that point, I found James always very refreshing. You know, good crack, and you could sense that he loved playing football, and that's what it's all about as well. And you have to enjoy it.
You didn't love him in 2014, right?
No. Not really. No. we'll not go there, will we?
No. Well, listen. Careful what you dig up, John Gilday last week. James, listen, what have you made of the championship so far? And listen, I'm intrigued to know the Kerry perspective as well. You know, when is this a switch going to be flipped? You know, no goals again at the weekend. The goals have dried up. And we were talking there from kind of going into the start of the season, James. You had this kind of people saying this top three. I think now you have a top one and then you have maybe a chasing six, unless I'm reading into Kerry wrong. Maybe
who's your one?
I had the Dubs, and then I think there's a pack coming after that. Now I don't really see. I mean, obviously it was as I say, Derry was in there. Now there's a big question mark whether that'll happen or not. But I don't know. What's your read into Kerry so far?
Do you know, it's tricky because I think that the way the whole championship structure is at the moment, it does favour Kerry and Dublin. Like, and I'm from Kerry, but I can see it. I see the Northern teams tearing strips off each other above and coming through with injuries and red cards and loss of form and gain of form, and they're going to the well so often. And Kerry and Dublin are just breezing through Munster and Leinster and then into a group as top seeds. And they've both landed with decent groups. And I agree, Kerry definitely aren't at top gear, but they don't need to be. You know, all they need to do is get a little bit better now for their next game, maybe improve another little bit after that. And then they're into a tough quarterfinal where they have to get their act together. So I think Kerry have learned from the structure last year, and they're thinking we have to be flat to the mat for only three games this year. Whereas some teams from Connacht and Ulster have to be at it for seven or eight games. So it's a tricky one. I think it's two completely different seasons if you're a Kerry player versus a Donegal player.
Yeah. But Jack O'Connor said, no, the real championship starts now. Do you think, is there a feeling in Kerry that there's going to be, listen, once you get to Croke Park, you know, then we'll see the real Kerry? Is that the kind of feeling there, dude?
it is at times, I suppose. Definitely when the groups came out this year, I think that the Kerry supporters were thinking we should be okay in that group, you know, we should come out of it. I think we were kind of hoping that there'd be a Derry or a Tyrone in Killarney to really get the juices flowing. You know, I think the Kerry would have needed one of those games maybe, and Killarney would have needed one of those games because the Kerry-Cork clash isn't what it used to be either. But no, I think you're right. I think the championship does start now, but even if Kerry were to have a bit of a slip up, I think they'd be fine until the quarterfinals, and then it really does kick off them, because I think the last eight this year are going to be really close. So they're going to be very tightly ranked. I know what you're saying about Dublin being ahead at the moment, but Dublin have shown some weaknesses. I think that those eight teams from the quarterfinals on there's going to be some shocks from there. I think they're so close at the moment.
Yeah,
and that's suppose where your panel of players, James and Brennan, coming in. Your panel of players is so important. As in, like, you look at Derry, you look at Derry's losing players because of injury at the minute. And suppose that point, Brennan. Kerry do get a little bit handier, so do Dublin, and they have that.
It's not their fault.
Well, not really, no.
But you wonder, like, and James, you from your times when you started playing, the Fannies, the way the training was being upped year on year, you know, in terms of the commitment, you know, this packed squash down season. You know, I heard a bit of a talking off the ball yesterday, or it was just on news talk. I think it might have been after I was just driving along. And they were on about the condensed season, and, you know, people were saying that Derry won the league now, what about it kind of thing. But I was thinking, well, that's the league. They still want to win the league, and it was part of the evolution of that team now. That's the league. The league can't be championship. We can't have two championships, otherwise we don't have the league. You know, it was a strange enough conversation because the guys were on about giving away the split season in terms of, you know, the GA was hemorrhaging and that. But I think you're playing club now, James. I think, you know, whatever about exposure, we need to look after the majority of our players, and in some way it can't be perfect. So, you know, between the commitment going up for the county players and then that break the club, I think the season is better the way it is now. Or how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I agree. I think it is better. Like, I remember when I was playing in, say, maybe 2014 2015, I actually tore my hamstring in a Munster final. And I was out for 6 weeks, and I was still back for, and training with a couple of weeks for the All-Ireland semi-final. Like, you know, it was so long between games that there was no problem. Now, if you tore your hamstring mid-season, you're gone for the whole thing. But players do not want to see big training blocks where they're getting stale, they're getting bored, you know. They want to be playing the big teams with big coverage and big exposure. Like, that's the exciting part. So I think it is an exciting structure at the moment, but there's definitely a few improvements to be made so far. Yeah. But like for the club scene down here, like, it's well set up for a club player as well. You know, there's loads of games. You're getting your county players for certain ones, and then you're going into championship matches when the season is over. But if you're an inter-county player, you could literally be playing a 13-month season. So it might actually creep into the following year, which is hard on the body, and it's unfortunate. It's something they're going to have to look at, but that's just kind of par for the course at the moment.
Yeah, and listen, James, we don't want to squeeze too much juice out of you because you're coming. He's coming up to Letterkenny for a big show.
It's not our show.
We don't want to take a, that's a bit greedy. No, James, listen, you're coming up to Mount Errigal this Friday off the Ball Roadshow.
Yes. Yeah, we can't wait. So we've done a couple of roadshows. We've done Castlebar, Killarney, Croke Park. We've done another one in Dublin. So this time we're coming up to Letterkenny. So we have unbelievable guests as well. We've Eamon McGee and Owen Mulligan. So there'll be some stories there. We're just trying to get through Muggsy's book at the moment to try and get a few more stories out. So I think he'll be very entertaining along with Eamon McGee. So it's going to be a great night. You know, because it's nice to go somewhere different and just have a chat about football and kind of get to know some other people, because it's very much just an interactive show where we have a bit of crack, you know, enjoy it, tell a few stories and have a few pints after. And they've all gone down great so far, so we can't wait for this one. But if anyone wants to come along, then the Mount Errigal Hotel on Friday night.
Eamon will have a few stories, there's no doubt about it.
No doubt.
I think I've heard him a few times. He's very entertaining.
Mulligan doesn't hold back, he'll be great.
Oh, yeah. Mulligan would be wild, I'd say. Yeah. Yeah, I'd say the two boys together now might rub each other up nicely. That might be
you're teeing it up nicely. Listen, James, it'd be great to have you up here and listen to a draw. Many people like to hear your own stories as well, hey, and your battles with the likes of Eamon McGee and that, I'm sure will come up.
Oh yeah, they will. Neil, they will. I didn't come out on the right side of a few of them, but look, we'll hopefully not get into that.
James, listen, great to talk, lad. We'll stay in touch from here on in, all right?
Perfect, lads. Thanks very much for having me.
All the best. Good luck with the show.
Take care.
See you later.
Good man, James O'Donoghue there, former Kerry star, of course, joining us. And
what a player.
Friday. Ah, a great player. Lightning, wasn't he?
He was unbelievable.
He had some season at 2014. Listen, we're going now to take a break, and after that, we're going to speak with Donegal legend Frank McGlynn. Welcome back, folks. We're joined on the line now by Frank McGlynn. Frankie there?
Yeah, Brennan, how's things?
Thanks for joining us very much. Great to hear from you, sir. You're keeping all right?
Yeah, keeping good. Weather's good, so.
No better, man.
It's nice in the year.
Yeah, you're teaching away at the minute and still doing playing a bit of ball.
Yeah, still involved with the Glenfin team there, yeah. So, halfway through the league,
There's a big birthday on the horizon, is there?
Not for me now.
You passed that, Frankie.
You're going well, Frank. I'll tell you, boy. You're made of some stuff. I'm telling you. I'm here with Parry Caulfield, of course, Frank. We're shooting the breeze. We're chatting football, and Frank, you know the parallels, of course, from your time, particularly 2011. You know, winning the league and that Ulster title that wasn't expected. What have you made of Donegal's run through the championship and the success that Jim has brought already?
Yeah, it's been interesting and definitely enjoyable. Even going to the games to watch them. Even that first day in Celtic Park against Derry, you know, the performance that day, and I suppose the speed of their play and the athleticism they showed that day was something nice just to sit back and watch. I suppose the two games since probably haven't been as open or as fast paced, but I think that's more to the style of play that Tyrone, Armagh, I suppose Donegal too, that they adopted in both those games, but. Really enjoying the change in some of the players, you know, having played with them probably as players that were probably only coming on to an inter-county setup, you know, to see the progress that they've made over this past couple of years now, you know, when they're into that stage of 5-6 years of an inter-county career, when I suppose we're getting the best football out of most of these players, and it's something nice to sit back and watch, I suppose, from the stands.
Yeah, of course, Frank, 5 All-Stars yourself, All-Ireland, NFL and All-Star as well. So many people, Frank, are asking about the magic, and you know, I think probably that 2011 when we went through, particularly when we went into the final, talking to many players about it, you know, there's no doubt they were going to win, but this has been a much tighter affair outside of the tactical way that we took out Derry. You know, you could make a big case for Tyrone maybe winning that game against Donegal, and again for Armagh. So there's been something about that bit of belief, you know, with Donegal. They seem to hang in there. They're not out playing teams, but there's that serious, serious work ethic and team bond, Frank. It seems to be enough to get us to where we need to go in terms of those tight, tight games.
Yeah, I suppose the belief and the standout moments in games, Donegal have been the team, you know, while Tyrone and Armagh could probably feel that they could have both beat Donegal, but at the end of the day it was the Donegal players that probably stood up at those crucial times, you know, and Tyrone maybe 3 points up on them and Armagh 4 points up at a stage. And, you know, I suppose the Donegal players were still going for those huge scores. And I suppose there's a huge amount of talent there as well, you know, with the scores that they did hit at crucial times. Because I suppose it's all well and good clipping over a point from 21 yards. But when you're 4 points down and to the cosh, you know, and you can still come up with those big scores that the likes of Darrell Beale and Niall O'Donnell came up with there in the Ulster final. I suppose it says a lot about the team and about how, I suppose, Jim and the management team, Colm and Neil, have got under their heads to give them that confidence that, you know, they are good enough and they are well able to step up at those big times and games. And I suppose for me, looking in, that's probably the most impressive thing from Donegal this year has been the when push came to shove and when questions were asked, it wasn't the same players all the time. You know, you had Ryan McHugh driving things on against Derry, but, you know, Keane McGonigal, and then against Tyrone, you had different players. Niall O'Donnell stepped up, Darrell Beale, and in the final, then you had huge games again, Michael Langan, Jason McGee. So it's coming from, I suppose, an all-round effort right around the pitch, so it is, and it's probably that's going to stand to them going into the All-Ireland series now.
Yeah, and tell me, Frank, just if it came down to penalties, being a former soccer star yourself, as many a man is in your area, tell me, is this true about this playing me Wayne Rooney for Everton in the Milk Cup? Is that one of your many badges that you have. I just found that out there today.
He must have been late to the party. I've normally been mentioned most times. It was a long time ago now. I think it's schoolboys football.
I don't listen to other shows, you see. But...
Frank will tell you that, you know himself.
Oh, I know. Very, very
it was a milk cup tournament, I think, up in Fort Rush, Port Stewart. I think that's where yes. Rooney came over, and I happened to be up on the same time. So I think we did share a field. I know how well things went to. That's to be debated, so it is. But it was the one and only time I shared the field. So it doesn't reflect too well on my soccer exploits.
I listened, played a wee bit for Herbs. It was handy enough to get in that Herbs team. Tell me, Frank, what about Penos, Frank? The composure there. Obviously, lads we made of the lads, all very, no more than yourself, underage, very, very talented soccer players. Do you think that had anything to do with that bit of composure, striking the ball on the ground?
Yeah, probably did have a factor, you know. But when it comes to penalties, there's so many factors that have to come into it, you know. And I suppose number one is being on the pitch after extra time and still able to stand up and hit the penalty you deserve. I suppose is the way the football is played today, you're probably lucky to get through 70 minutes. Never mind, you know, 2 10-minute periods of extra time and then still step up to hit penalties. You know, the likes of Michael Langan and Jason McGee, you know, done Darrell Boyle. So it takes that alone, you know, to clear the mind and to freshen the legs and to think that you have the strength and the power to put those penalties away. Well, you factor into the Gaelic goals, you know, when I was student watch, I was thinking to myself, you know, is this keeper going to dive? Is he going to guess? Or is he just going to stand his ground and wait, you know, because I suppose the soccer keepers are probably all diving as the goals are that bit bigger. But yeah. I suppose in the Gaelic, some keepers can just chance that a penalty's not going to be hit into the corner, and there's always a chance to save it. Whereas I think most of the penalties, the first 10, you know, were probably, apart from maybe Armagh's last of the fifth penalties, you know, the rest were probably almost planted a plumb into the corner, giving the keeper no chance.
Yeah.
You know, and even Aaron Doherty's second penalty, you know, it's difficult enough to hit one, but yeah, to step up again against the same keeper, you know, it makes it even more difficult.
And they jump the queue, Frank. They say, here, I'll take it, you know.
took. He was brave, you know, whether he came up with that himself or whether maybe the other four players maybe suggested it, maybe, who to know. But certainly it took a lot of guts for them all to step up. And probably looking at it probably would nearly favour, you know, I think for the excitement of it all, it probably would be better to go down that list, because I can just imagine maybe the teams that we played on going into that sixth and seventh and eighth penalty taker, you know, that the excitement or maybe the reluctance of players to step up and hit a penalty would be more evident, yeah, you know, rather than reversing around the same five again.
I'm just wondering, though, Frank, the very fact, say you say, if you said you could have a guy in there, Frank, doesn't really, it's not his thing to even take a penalty. I think in many ways, I've been thinking about this, if you have five penalty takers, at least they know they're hitting the penalties and that's it. So say then if they want to practice, they can. Otherwise, those five could be good at it, and then you could go down and you could end up with somebody, you know, who shouldn't be up hitting the penalties. I'm wondering, is that the mindset behind it? You know, that at least they're your five, you're the penalty takers, you just practice them, it'll come down to you.
Yeah, that's it, yeah, I suppose, and that makes it clear cut, as long as those five, I suppose, are probably on the pitch at the end of the extra time.
True.
I think, well, probably
big,
if we were choosing,
rain,
I suppose.
Was one to go off. Remember, Frank, he limped off just at the end.
Yeah, and I suppose Patrick and Oisin, you probably would have been thinking from the outside that they would have been maybe 2 year penalty takers, you know, and not to have them, I suppose, on the pitch at that stage. Some people might have been thinking that we probably hadn't got our best five, but, you know, the five that stepped up certainly showed that they were well capable of putting away the penalties.
Mm. And Frank, listen, you're that. What do you make of our team now? Like, when you played, I think you could play anywhere, half back, half forward. You're very comfortable either way, but we had kind of what we call defenders back, say, from Jim's first time. Now we basically have Curran and McCall, the rest of them are half forward. Do you think that's a big change that's happened even from your time to now, that it's very much about defensive shape and then breaking at pace, certainly for us?
Yeah, I think that even looking through the games at the weekend, I think, you know, the inside forwards are probably featuring less and less. You know, I think most games that we went into, you know, you definitely had 2 or 3 forwards that you had to, you know, you really had to pinpoint, you know, you really had to go to town on them, you know, like as in man-marking jobs. Whereas I think nowadays, I think those man-marking jobs aren't as prevalent in a lot of teams. You know, certainly you'll probably have to mark players out the field that they don't get the chance to get on the ball to cause you bother in attack. But I suppose the ball coming into the full forward line doesn't seem to be as you know, is used as much nowadays, and that probably lends itself then to probably not needing those three, I suppose, out and out fullback type markers. And I think it's one thing that Donegal, you know, do very well, that, you know, a lot of the players can switch between half back, midfield, half forward, right up into the full forward line, and they all seem comfortable getting on the ball anywhere on the pitch.
Frank, I suppose now we look forward to this weekend against Tyrone, and it's going to be a sellout in McCool Park, a big game for Donegal, and suppose off the back of such a grueling Ulster Championship. Would you feel, obviously there's no good game in the group stages, but a home tie, one against your near neighbours, definitely coming off the Ulster Championship one there against Armagh, do you feel the players will be absolutely relishing it?
Yeah, it's definitely one that they look forward to. You know, I suppose from past experience, one in Ulster for us, about 11 and 12, we were straight through 14. You know, you were straight through to an All-Ireland quarter-final. I suppose the later two then at 18 and 19, you were back into the Super 8, you know, and I suppose dealing with that maybe, you know, could be a factor, you know, and not being straight through to a quarter-final after one in the Ulster province, you know, and I think James mentioned it earlier, you know, that there is that slight unfairness to the championship structure when the province is related to the All-Ireland series. But I do think, you know, the confidence that those players are going to get from the Ulster final should override any, I suppose, preparation worries that they would have had from the Ulster final to the first game against Tyrone now. But I think both teams going into this game, they're going to see it as a huge chance to guarantee an All-Ireland quarter-final. I think the winner coming out of Balfour between Donegal and Tyrone this weekend are going to be in pole position to get to that spot of the automatic quarter-final place. You know, with the two games, that's no disrespect to Clare and Cork that are coming, but they're going to fancy their chances in getting victories against both those teams. So it's a game of huge and huge importance, I suppose, for both camps. And I do feel with Donegal playing games regularly, you know, on that 2-week basis, Tyrone probably have a 4-week break there to deal with. And, you know, those training blocks can be harder to deal with without games than playing games. And I think Donegal will have that slight maybe advantage of having that game mentality and getting back up to that again after the Ulster final.
Yeah, they definitely want to top the group. That would be the pathway, Frank, for sure. And also, you don't want an extra game in there. Of course, Frank, you're coming over to your neighbours in McCool's for a wee yarn on Friday night. We're going to all be up in Jackson's. Myself and yourself will be along, as well, likes of Gary McDade, Tara Lynch, Tony Boyle, Michael Carr, and a few others. Maybe looking forward to that one, Frank.
Yeah, it should be a good night's fun. Yeah, it's always intriguing. It's always intriguing heading into McCool's, but hopefully it'll be a bit of reception.
Still welcome.
You're not to lose this time, Frank.
The red carpet will be out by the red carpet. Even our Tyrone friends, Itar, will be in there putting out the case for the Tyrone men and seeing what they come up with. Because, right, I suppose it was such a nip and tuck game. You know, last year we lost them by 9. So, you know, Jim, obviously inside out, Frank, there'll be a huge message about home match, you know, near rivals, Tyrone. You know, this is a game, you know, that Donegal just can't lose.
Yeah, once the Ulster final was done and dusted, I would say from the minute they set foot in the dressing room and the celebrations were taking place, I would say that the next game was probably mentioned was going to be on the radar straight away. So it was, and while they would have enjoyed the celebrations, it would have been straight back to the preparations for this game right away. And I suppose whatever advantage they would have gained from that one in Celtic Park, they're going to want to hold that in the first 10, 15 minutes, you know, to be the team on the front foot from the game. I think Tyrone probably could take some confidence from that game. At the end of the day, it was a draw, you know, and beaten an extra time. So I don't think Tyrone went into that game in Celtic Park with a huge amount of confidence. So I think they might have actually taken confidence from that draw with Donegal. And we could see, a more positive approach. You know, they made changes before that throw-in, and Rory Canavan was taken off and a defender in his place. So it's going to be interesting to see, will Tyrone show maybe a little bit more confidence in trying to go on to win the game rather than perhaps staying in the game and hoping to win it in the last few minutes.
Yeah, certainly, Frank. There was a lot of questions out there. Frank, just last question to you before you go. Owen Barnes back now. We're close to the almost full health there. Is that a big thing, Frank, going through all these games? And Parik mentioned it about squads and that, because, you know, a wee bit like yourselves, you know, when you really went on that run, 11 and 12, you know, injury-free. Is that something, like, with the hard training with the boys there the last number of years, does the hard training and the games maybe throw up the thought of the potential for more injuries the way Jim trains teams? Or is it the championship games? Because, you know, as I say, we had a lot of injuries. We've got them cleared up and just at the right time now going into these group stages.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think whatever hard training, I suppose, has been done, it very well could be done and dusted at this stage. You know, while there'll be the odd, I suppose, tough session thrown in between games from now on. I think getting to this stage with a clean bill of health is the main one. And, you know, most of the players have all featured in game time, Owen Bank of game time in the Ulster final. So that's a positive. I suppose a run of games now that's coming maybe back to back and more hectic with the group stages. The fitness work that they've probably more than likely definitely done with Jim is going to stand to them.
Yeah, first class, Frank. Listen, really looking forward to Friday night, 8 o'clock at Jackson's. Frank will be there. Get yourself over and we'll have a good evening's fun.
Yeah, we will do, Brent. Thanks very much.
Good talking to you, Frank.
Cheers, Frank.
Good man, Frank.
It's Frank McGlynn there, Donegal
legend. There's a lot of big talks there going on this weekend, isn't
there? A lot of talking going on. Hey, listen, so what else can we do? Hey, we love the ball talk.
But even just listening to Frank there, this is going to be a massive game in McCool Park.
Oh, huge.
Like, and the rewards, Brendan, I suppose, is something that's maybe not built up as much as we thought. Like, you know, if you won, you know, this game, you're in good shape. Well, you know.
Oh, yeah, listen, to be top seed, you're going to avoid the other top teams, you know, particularly you're on with Kerry's and Dublin's and that. So, listen, that's what you want. You know, you want to be top of the group. You want to avoid any potential for an extra game. And, you know, it's massive, I think psychologically, it'd be interesting to see now. What did Tyrone learn from the first game? What did Donegal learn, you know, in terms of how the two teams played? You know, they'll both be trying to get at each other's supposed weaknesses and that. So they're locking on the background, as you mentioned before, you know, Joey McMahon there, you know, certainly is a huge part of playing that tactical setup at Tyrone. You know, they'll be doing a lot of work now because should they win the match, but it'll be a massive game for them to really spread the word.
Do you think they're going to change things up a little? But, you know, when they should have went for it,
Does not everybody sit on Leeds? I don't know where it gets, you know, was that down to us than them?
Well, Armagh did it against Donegal, and look what happened.
Yeah.
Tyrone did it against Donegal, look what happened. So, yeah. I don't know, you're the expert here, like, you know.
Do you think?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about that. That's why I got you in here. Listen, folks, after the break, we're going to talk to a real expert. Mickey McCann will be on the show.
He is, yeah.
To preview the Nicky Rackard final, he'll be on after this break. Welcome back, folks. Now we look forward to another massive Nicky Rackard final. Donegal boss Mickey McCann is on the line. Mickey, how are you, sir?
All good, Brendan. Yourself?
Oh, tearing away, Mickey. Monday. Say, Mickey, listen, I know you're already qualified. You were able to, I suppose, play a lot of fringe players in terms of still won the match against Louth, of course. But, Mickey, just the match previous to it, the way you won at Roscommon, very, very impressive victory, Mickey, to set up this game.
Yeah, it was one we were kind of worried about. It was really a semi-final for us, you know. We picked up a few injuries in the game with Sean McVay and Conor Gertland and Declan Coulter, so we were a bit worried. But look, the subs we brought in on the day, Sean Ward, Peter Kelly, we all stepped up, Brendan, and with probably our best performance, you know. Roscommon's a tough team to beat, as you've seen them we all drew yesterday, so... And it was a great performance by us, you know, and we're very comfortable throughout the game, you know, and probably conceded a couple of goals. I think the scoreline even flattered them a bit, you know. We were probably 14, 15 points up one time. So very good on the day, Brendan. You just hope you can carry it on now, you know, into the bigger day. You just hope that wasn't where you turn up and not in the final. So as long as we can get a bit of consistency and carry it through now, you know.
Yeah, certainly. And Mickey, still a high-scoring match with Louth. It looked very entertaining in terms of the scoreline, 120 to 419 to our lads. And very positive, Mickey, when you're bringing in boys that they still are playing that, because you're going to need to call on guys in this final. A repeat, of course, to the 2020 final when goals was the big deciding factor in that victory over Mayo.
It was, Brendan. I suppose just on the Louth game, you know, we were on the bench, you say, and we had two or three starters mixed in through it, so it just shows the strength and depth we have. We were very beat. Louth was a very, you know, we were on the panel, you know, so and we were keeping a close eye on the Mayo and Roscommon game, and it was high scoring, you know, and I think maybe Roscommon had a free at the end to pop it, you know, but they missed it, and Mayo was through and scored a difference. So look, at least we know our opponents now. We're just waiting confirmation of the fixture, Brendan, but as you say, with a lot of boys pushing for positions, and have a tough team to pick here, Brian, a tough 26 come next week. So all good at the minute. If Sean McVay and Conor Gartland and them cleared up their injuries in Declan Coulter, we'll have a full ball of health, hopefully, you know.
Yeah, very important. Mickey, just I suppose since Nicky Record came in is 2005, we've been in five finals and won three, which is the best of any county out there. Mickey, I was just thinking, how many of them finals were you involved in playing or managing? You must have been in the mix a lot there.
No, well, I lost the final, the first one, Brendan, was 06. We were beat by Derry. It was the first time we got there. And then I wasn't involved in 2013 when they won it. So and then obviously the two or the three we were involved in, we won it in 18 and won it in 20 under me. And then we were beat last year with Wicklow. So four of the five, Brendan, I played in one and managed some three, you know, so and very won good. Two. So you're just hoping you can get that third one now and try to get us up to Christy Ring, you know.
Yeah, certainly. And Mickey, just that learning point from last year in Wicklow, and I know another great league run, you know, and promotion, you know, everything's on the up and up with this team, Mickey. You just kind of mentioned it there, you know, there have been so many good performances. You just need Donegal to apply themselves in that way that they've been doing all year in this final. So you just want players to reach that peak that they've been doing all year. That's just what you want as a manager and coach.
Exactly, you know, and I suppose last year, you know, we put ourselves in a great position. We went 6 points up against Wicklow, and we had a big call for a penalty, Brendan, and it was way past, and at the same time we lost Rowan McDermott to a cruciate injury from the challenge of the keeper. So it was a big swinging point, you know, and I suppose Wicklow emptied the bench and they just had a wee bit more strength and depth last year. So I think we're a wee bit better off, you know, in terms of we had a few injuries in the final last year. Our strength and depth were tested this year. Hopefully we'll have a good bench to call upon, which is very important at Croke Park. But a very good Wicklow team last year, and Brent, I suppose, just on Mayo, people maybe from the outside will be tagging us favourites, but we know what Mayo's about. They've been playing Christy Ring this last three seasons and only down. So I think it's a real 50-50 game. And as you say, if we can apply ourselves and turn up with that bit of consistency and play the way to our strengths and to get our forwards into the game, I think, you know, we have every chance of trying to win the Nicky Record, you know.
Yeah, and Mickey, just finally, the build-up to it, you know, you've obviously had a few things marked this season. You've been ticking all the boxes. That build-up of training now, the buzz from the lads, you know, as you say, your whole squad involved, particularly against Louth there, and everybody's chomping at the bit now to get into the squad. You know Croke Park's on the horizon, you know. These must be the days, Mickey, where, you know, there's such a great buzz and a feeling at training, though, that you're heading to a final in Croke Park, and you know you're there with a serious opportunity to win.
Yeah, and look, it was a great buzz coming out of Roscommon last week, knowing we're there with a game to spare, and training's been good, Brendan. The numbers are high there. We're probably play 15 a side on once a week, you know, which is very important. The numbers are high, so you can just see that bit of tension now. We boys pushing for spots, a starting spot, and then the 26, every man's got an eye on it. So, you know, as I say, myself and Gabriel's got our work cut out, because there's a fine line with a lot of these players and even the starting 15. But I do think it's going to take 20 players on the day, Bren, and hopefully, you know, whoever doesn't get the starting spot could possibly come on and win the game for us. So it's very important that we're all pushing together. You know, it's nice to get the starting spot, but I do think the boys on the bench could be the one in the game for us. So very important we keep everybody in the right frame of mind, Brendan. Good on date, you know.
Yeah, brilliant. Mickey, listen, doing a brilliant job there as ever. Listen, we wish you all the best in that final. We'll catch up with you after it, Mickey, and hoping to have a good conversation, a celebratory one with you after this final.
I hope so, Brendan. Sure. Talk later.
Appreciate it. Mickey McCann there, hurling right. Boss. Listen, what a job. What a... Unbelievable. The hurlers just keep getting better and better, you know.
Win another Nicky Record final. It's phenomenal, yeah, like, yeah. You know, and as Mickey has indicated, with a game to spare. So, you know, look, it's something really to look forward to. The June Bank Holiday weekend.
Yeah. Mayo. HQ.
Mayo, and look.
You'll probably be in a box there somewhere with all your contacts.
Huh? You're sitting in a box, all right. Yeah, no. Look, it's good to see. And suppose, Brandon, as we spoke about earlier on, disappointment for. There's only all minors on Saturdays.
Yeah, but not Armagh games, isn't there? It's Armagh every direction now. I mean, we've, you know, obviously the ladies lose.
2-1, you know.
2-1, yeah, listen. But, I was down doing a bit of commentary for the streaming service, Barry Ward. I spoke to him after. It's up on Highland Radio's site there. Yeah, listen, I said to you before we came in, Park, Donegal didn't do... Well, listen, I know Barry wasn't happy, but how they performed, but I thought Armagh were very good, you know, on the day. Mm. You had a whole host of ex-players' sons playing, you know, Marsden, McEntee, O'Rourke's manager's son. You know, Drummond T had eight players in the squad, and he had coached them since under eights through. Isn't it mad to think you could have eight club players, and five of them, so all of them played, five of them started. And you think about coaching, remember last year all the trouble with development squads and all the trouble about that, and we were saying how many players to get through, but yet Aidan Rourke has taken these all through. So there is, you know, you think about coaching, sometimes I'm always thinking, listen, if you're going to be a player, you're going to be. But you know, at the minute, they're very benefiting from what he's doing, both from the club and the county.
And you see that, suppose, and we speak about this, McCrory Cup football as well, it's massive in the six counties as well, and suppose in McLaren as well, and maybe the Donegal.
We're spread out. You see, if you look at the schools there, where they are, the towns, you know, you look at Marafelt, Mahara, and Dungannon, and Eskilm, whatever, they tend to pull all in, you know, whereas you look at our bases of football, they're too, the county's so spread out, you know, around, and you'll see an odd team, look at Abbey this year coming through in their competition, Unions, obviously, you know, there's different teams will come up and do well at in the competition that they're in, but, you know, the wheel, always say, Gary, about, we played, I don't know, one of the schools in the north, and they reckon they're pulling off 22 clubs in Unions College, were pulling off five, that was his
analysis on it.
Yeah.
And he'll have his analysis done now.
Oh,
well,
yeah,
you know,
I would believe him.
But I suppose that's the big thing. Is it something maybe from a Donegal point of view, are we missing, you know, missing that aspect of it? Because I know
that's why the academy's maybe more important here.
Yeah.
And but then people say, how many players do you get out of it? But it's always hard to tell, isn't it? Because, you know, if you've any really good underage side, they always say, like, say, if you're top minor on a team, you'd be lucky to get three kind of through to the senior, you know. There's always those kind of stats thrown out around that, because players change so much, you know, 17 to 20.
Do you feel like from minor football now, is there more of a chance to get them through to the seniors than there would have been? Maybe, you know, the way you might catch a guy who didn't play minor football, but, you know, came in, didn't play under 20, or, you know, just came in at the seniors. Is there as much as that happening?
Yeah, if you look at McBurdy and Murphy, I suppose, you have Finbar Roddy this year, remember the situation there? I was watching him on Saturday evening, actually, you know, fine footballer, you know. So if you look at those minor boys, you're thinking, you know, even, you're probably thinking under 20s next, but really, you could be... You could go in a lot quicker.
And before we go tonight, our friends, our neighbours, Tyrone, one another, all Ireland under 20.
Yeah,
you know, so
good man, yeah. Three cheers for them.
It's very special for our next
we've got to say well done. Now, listen, what a performance too. I mean, you go and win a final, you want to win it by a point if you can, who cares? But I mean, they absolutely took Kerry.
Shot the lights out, like, against Kerry as well, so... Yeah. They're doing something right. We could learn,
yeah. Maybe that's the next thing we got to do. That is Pádraig Hilfirthy. Pádraig, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Joe Dex for producing. There's a Tyrone man outside. They're happy out. He's telling me to
Has he got tickets?
Jimmy and Paul, the Monday night sessions is coming up. I want to thank everybody who contributed to the show tonight. I will speak to you all next week, and Pádraig Hilfirthy too.